Welcome to Pivoting to Web 3 podcast, where your host and your guests are going to express to you the opportunities and limitations of Web 3 technologies, where they win, and sometimes it could be a downward spiral. So check in with Pivoting to Web 3 podcast.com and stay abreast on what's happening now. And here's your host, Donna Mitchell. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Pivoting to Web 3 podcast. And today we have Bridget Callahan. And Bridget Callahan was on my launch team initially when we launched Pivoting to Web 3. And she is an outstanding designer in regards to presentation design. She's a strategist. She's worked with those big time corporations. Some of these corporations are, for example, Samsung, Xerox. I can go on and on. And more importantly, she's now brought in the AI. Now, with the AI and the way she does presentations, you would think you were sitting in a cinema. So if you think about those programs and conferences and keynote speeches and all the big guns that come in for corporate, the lady behind the scenes in many of these presentations is Bridget Callahan. So Bridget, I'd like to welcome you to Pivoting to Web 3 podcast. How are you doing there? How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really glad to be here again. And I just, every time we get to have a conversation, I look forward to it.
Yeah, I look forward to talking to you too, because it's also a lot of fun. And yeah. I learned so, so much. But I'm really curious to know, what are you doing now? How have things changed with AI and your presentations? Because that last episode we did, there were so many engagements. There were so many views. Everybody was in awe of what you showed in regards to Midjourney and some of the other applications that you were using. But I think right now we want to know what's going on in the world with AI and how are you utilizing it in the manner that you are.
Well, it's interesting because I've been doing a lot of research on this, and I am studying a lot of the different AI components of creating graphic design, creating visual imagery. And I think when I mention to people, I believe all slideshows should be like a Hollywood movie. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because we get compelled when we're in a movie and we get excited and our emotions are heightened. And what if we could create that in a slideshow? So I took that a step further, and it's like, you know, I tell people, I say, when I retire, all I want to do is sit in front of Photoshop all day and create movie posters. Like, I just get fascinated by movie posters. And so I'm thinking, how does AI affect creating a movie poster? You know, and how does it increase the drama? So it's like, I'm going deep into understanding the prompts that you give Midjourney or other graphics programs. My choice is Midjourney. And how do you get that photorealistic, that human quality, that emotional quality, the lighting, the textures, the angles, and, you know, using the same actor over and over? How do you do all that as a creative director? These are the things that we look for when we're creating a movie. Okay. And so in the last few months since we last talked, I've been using more AI to create slides. And what's interesting is, I can't always find the slide I'm looking for, but I can create it in my head. And when I can create it in my head, then I can write a prompt for it and then create it in Midjourney. So I think AI has given me way more access to creativity and to realize my vision. Whereas in the past, you know, we've used regular tools. I mean, I started out early on doing airbrushing. And
oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it took 9 hours to just create this seashell on sand, because mm-hmm. you have to cut all these masks. You have to then cut reverse masks so you don't spray in the areas that you don't want paint to do. So it's just very tedious with an X-Acto knife. And then you have to manage the airbrush itself and the width of this paint and the color of the paint and all that kind of stuff. So it was fascinating to me, the technical aspects of it. But once the computer came out, I was like, oh my God, this is like, you know, airbrushing on steroids, you know, mm-hmm. I can see my vision. I can create it so much quicker. Now with AI, it's almost like a snap of a finger. You see the idea. And as a creative director, I'm always seeing things. I'm always seeing, like, especially watching television and watching, you know, movies. Oh, wow, that was really cool how they did that. Or, wow, that was a different angle. I like how that went. And, you know, I study this, so I look for it. And it just, it continually fascinates me. And so I like to move that into the realm of slide design, because we're inundated with these presentations. And it's like, man, how do we get away from the boring slide? How do we show content differently? How do we show statistics that tell a story?
So at the end of the day, when you say you look at what's in your head, or after you get it in your head and your vision and your imagination and everything, for those that are listening and you do the prompt, can you give an example, like what's in your head and how you would write the prompt? I'm sure that there are some people listening not really still understanding what is a prompt, or how do you prompt that? Give them some meat with examples that maybe you've had this vision, explain the vision, and how you wrote it up in a prompt, something short.
Yeah. So a prompt is basically, like, if you ask someone to take out the trash, you would prompt them by telling them or right. Inspire them. You know, if I'm not taking the trash out, but, oh, honey, if you just take the trash out, it would really save me. You know, oh, OK, I'll come save you. You know, it's how you convey the message that gets you the results. OK, so when you're prompting graphic or, you know, a picture, you want to think from a Hollywood director standpoint. It's like, well, how do I want this to go? Where's the motion involved? And so, you know, it's a lot of study, but a basic prompt is, you know, I want a cat sitting by the lake drinking from the water, and it's midnight and the moon is out and the stars are shining. And in the distance, we see, you know, the aurora borealis. You know, you got to visualize and then put it in words what you see in your head. And so there's some fantastic stuff that people are creating, but some of it doesn't make sense. It's like way out there. And, you know, I think there wasn't a lot of thought in creating it. It was just like, well, that's what AI created. So when it doesn't have a relation to what the subject is or what we're doing, that's where the creative comes in, is how do we merge that digital stuff to our eyes and our emotions and that kind of thing.
So when you utilize the prompts and you're using the terminology to really get the texture, the feel, the vision, and the sense of what you want to portray or reflect in the presentation, how do you end up merging all that together with branding and the logos? How does that play with each other? Or is it separate? Or do you really look at everything when you strategize and you work in the AI with the presentation and give it that cinema feel? Does that branding piece come in play? And if so, how?
I mean, think of every different Hollywood movie that's, you know, been outlandish versus romantic versus lots of action. You know, everything has kind of this feel when you're watching it. So, like, I'm working on a slide deck for a woman right now, and she is a metaphysical healer kind of person. And of course, the imagery is not going to be just a typical photo that you pull from an image bank. She wants more of a metaphysical look and feel. And so that's kind of where AI helps us to incorporate that, you know. And then she goes, I want ancient principles. Oh, okay. So like Egyptian. Okay. Let's pull that in there. So, you know, it's really knowing what is it you're going to say and then go deeper. And how can you go deeper in explaining it? And this is where I use like ChatGPT. I go to ChatGPT and I put in the basic outline. It says, write me a really detailed Midjourney prompt.
Oh, cool.
It does. It writes this really long prompt. It says, give me all the film, the lens, the lighting, the f-stop. If you designate all that, you can get wildly different results and so it's kind of like, I'm not a photographer. I did mm-hmm. take photography. I studied it for several years, but for me to tell you what f-stop to use, I couldn't tell you. But ChatGPT can.
So it sounds like you're using a lot of different tools than previously. What are the new ones that you really are interested in or really think that's going to go a long way? I mean, everything is changing so quickly daily, but yeah. Do you have some other tools that you're looking into that you think are going to be at the forefront?
I don't, you know, they're changing all the time, but like in my research in the last week or so, they're coming out with design tools that translate into user interfaces. You know, so you could have a sketch that now turns into a user interface. So like with Web3 and stuff, you're looking at the, you know, interaction and the engagement and the easeability of using interfaces. So that fascinates me. I was just reading a little bit about Adobe Sensei, and it's like, what is it? Mm-hmm. But it takes AI and machine learning and automates stuff that you're doing. So I'm trying to understand, well, where does that lie in graphics? And it could be in a lot of things, like if you're doing a long document or something in Adobe InDesign or something, how can that automate that stuff? I couldn't answer that yet. I'm still in the learning phases, but there's so many other programs that are out now. I couldn't really comment on which one are the best because I haven't had that much time to explore them. So I can't really comment, but, you know, just go out there and search. And if you have the time, play with them. You know, for me, I've played with several other graphics programs. I still lean on Midjourney because I think it's like the real artist's toolkit is what mm-hmm. But there's so many others out there and I don't think any one can fit the needs. You need to know what are the different needs that, oh, well, this program would be better. So I'm still babe in the woods. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's okay, because you've given me some great insight and you've given me some really good insight. And I got a question for you. With everything that's happening in AI, and I hear the good, the bad, the ugly, the ethics, the morals, who like what, when, the cultural differences, the nuances and everything else. And I'm curious to know, because everyone has a different view or take on AI, what, based on what you've been exposed to, how you've used it, have there ever been any times where you were like, oh, my goodness, it can really do that? Or, oh, Lord, you know, is there anything you worry about or that you see that you're curious about how we're going to handle it as a society or a country or a culture?
Yeah, I mean, what you're bringing up is interesting. That where my mind went right away is there's this website that shows logo designs that are horrific. the 15 worst logo designs, that's all I'm going to say. Search that and find it. And you'll be shocked at what you see, because people actually thought this logo was fine and they published it and they used it and they didn't realize the ramifications of what it had. I mean, you know, horrific, bad. And it's like, oh, we got to take that down. And even I think it was, I don't know if it was Amazon or another large company had a logo. I don't think it made that list, but it was, I was looking at some other lists. So when you think of that from like a photography or a graphic sense, I know with myself, I love ChatGPT. I'm not a writer, but it helps me to write. And so I was like, boom, I got it right there. If I don't read it though, is it really my voice? Is it really saying what I'm saying? And sometimes I've posted something, I go back, it's like, what? Mm-hmm. You have to check it. And so the same thing with your graphics, you know, vet your graphics, have people look at it, because they're going to see things differently than what you see. And like you're talking about, is this going to offend a certain, you know, type of people or whatever? Different eyes see different things. So that's why as a creative director, you know, I work with people and they say, Bridget, can you just put your eyes in this and tell me what you see? I says, absolutely. You know, and I'll point things out and they didn't even see it. And it's like, a lot of times I point things out that actually relate to what they're trying to communicate. It's like, wow, I didn't see that. That's cool. So, you know, the subliminal stuff, you know, we are So, you know, in that subliminal aspect, we see things that relate to people and we put it in there, but we didn't know we did that on purpose.
So when you say relate to stuff, when you put some things in there, does that include some of the biases or cultural differences and everything? Is that some of the areas that you're talking about as well?
Well, I mean, you know, with people being on certain sides of, you know, the division, right? You know, like I'm left or I'm white, right? Or whatever. Yes, they can create things. They can, you know, the deep fakes are going to get, you know, worse and worse. But as a person that wants to affect a wider audience and doesn't want to offend people, I want to look for, you know, is this going to be offensive or is this going to, you mm-hmm. know, the wrong message?
Exactly. So when you're creating, and especially, I want to go back to the slide. Your presentations are awesome. They're just awesome. You've helped me a few times. And there were some things I didn't realize. You know, I remember I started off when I finally came out of retirement, and everything was moving a little, was moving to too much. You know how you have the elements and then you can move them up, down, or they slide in and out. And that really helped me. And it was the little thing. So I'm kind of curious to know, and I'm sure somebody listening is going to want to know, when you're working on a slideshow, how do you make the numbers look better and the data look better or more interesting? Is that AI, or are those some of the other applications that you've been using? How do you make that happen? How does somebody decide to improve what they've been doing so you don't go to the meeting and be bored, or you don't be the speaker and have a horrible slideshow, and you're a great speaker, but your presentation was just off the wall somewhere, going the wrong direction?
It happens all the time. And really, just simple designs. Like I follow this one guy who's you know, high level in marketing, and I just got his newsletter, and I got really inspired by it, because he keeps it simple. You know, if you're doing a stat like 57%, just have the number big. You know, and you can show some sort of, you know, pie chart or whatever that shows 100%, 57% or whatever, so they can get a visual sense. But don't hide it into this huge graph of all these other numbers. It gets too confusing. You know, focus on the story and the most important part. And what's cool is there are some animation techniques where you can have the big chart and then you zoom in and the number gets big. Now, you got to be careful with this too much zooming. It can make people dizzy. You know, tastefully, maybe once or twice in a whole show, it works. But I think a lot of people rely on all the different animations that are there, thinking, oh, this will make me look cool. And it actually does the opposite.
Okay. So with the AI, where do you place the AI in the presentations? Is there a certain technique or in transitions or part of the display of a product, or how does the AI intersect with PowerPoint? Maybe that's the question that everybody could kind of visualize, or in Canva. But where does that AI piece with the pictures? How does that? Because you have this Hollywood feel.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing that I love, and I use Photoshop for it, but Canva does the same thing, is getting rid of the background. If you wanted to put, you know, a person isolate and put something behind them. If you had a vertical slide and you wanted to fill the frame horizontally, you could say content aware fill is what they do in Photoshop. I'm not sure if Canva can do that, but it was amazing when I first used it. It's like, wow, it created the whole background. It didn't even know what was back there. And it will usually create three different versions of the background so you can choose. That was a huge game changer for me, because then you're not stuck on the aspect ratio of the image that you have.
Oh, okay.
And then in Midjourney, you can create an image and then you can tell it to zoom out. So like, let's say you're creating a table of fruit, you know, at Thanksgiving, and it's really close up on the fruit. Well, no, I want to see the whole table. You know, I want to see how many chairs are behind there. And it will fill in that whole scene and make it as rich as if you were just zoomed in really close. That is like, you know, you're a wizard now. You just snap your finger, you think it, you snap your finger, and there it is.
Okay, that's really cool. And it saves a lot of time and it increases the money, I'm sure. So how can we reach out to you? How can people connect with you? And what do you want to share? What are your last thoughts?
Well, I have a YouTube channel. I'm sure you'll have the link there. I do a lot of training in there. I have a calendar if you want to reach out to me. It's bridgieworld.com. That's B-R-I-G-E world.com. If you want to have a conversation, if you want me to review your slides, or if you have some other graphics that you want to have a creative director take a look at. I love empowering people in getting that higher level of the graphic design and the effect that it has, even though they are not a trained artist, or, you know, they're still dabbling in it or whatever. Yeah, if you're in a group where you want me to come speak, I would love to do that. I'm all about enlightening people and letting them know there is a richer world that we can create in the graphic design and the slides that we create.
And you are fabulous. So with that said, Bridget, I'd like to thank you for coming on Pivoting to Web3 podcast. And to my guests, we're going to see you soon. Hopefully you're still listening and enjoying Pivoting to Web3 podcast, because we're shaping tomorrow together. Have a great day, great night, and if it's morning, have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Pivoting to Web 3. At pivotingtoweb3.com, make sure you hit the subscribe button so that it gets to you with every episode that comes out. We have lots of great opportunities, limitations, and downward spirals being revealed by our guests. And thank you in advance for all your reviews and comments. I appreciate you so much. I look forward to serving you in the next week's episode.